If you would turn to Psalm 85 again this morning. Before we go further, let me express my appreciation to your pastors and the Copelands and you for this time. I've remarked about it more than once, and I'm not just saying it. I have felt completely free here this week. I feel as, you know, just like I'm at my home church and free. And, you know, it's not always that way. Depending on where you go and what's going on. Yeah. Sometimes people just look at you strangely for the first 2 days. And time they figure it out, you're gone. But God is so good. And, you know, we have so much to be thankful for. God has blessed this church and this ministry so richly with so much good word. So much good word. I heard three amens. So much. How much word, good word, revelation that men couldn't have explained to you, but God brought it out to you. Light that changes your life. How much of that have you received? Have I received? Oh. Oh.
Hallelujah.
Just.
Praise God.
We can't tell it. We can't count up the worth of it. And yet God just continues to keep giving and giving. It's His nature. I said it's His nature. Birds fly. Fish swim. God gives. Doesn't He? He is the giver. And we are giver children of a giver God. Where He's not a taker, He's a giver. And so I believe it has been and is profitable. And the Word of God does not return void. But something's growing in us. In the reverence of God. And the glory of God. And I'm expecting. Not just talking, I'm expecting services where the glory of God is so strong that we lose track of time, right? And space. And we forget about who's doing what. Are you with me now? God could move in a manner that we could go for days at a time like this. You know, Moses was in the glory for 40 days, didn't even eat. Didn't even drink any water and didn't care. Didn't need to. Because the one who made food and water was permeating his very skin. Wow. God is big and He's wonderful. And the more we'll open up to His bigness and greatness and glory, and the more we'll respect it. Somebody say respect. Respected in reverence, He gives His precious things to those who esteem them, to those who value them. Let's get further into that this morning. In Psalm 85, all week we've looked at this. It talked about that the salvation of the Lord is near those that fear Him. Surely, He said, His salvation is near to those, the Amplified says, who reverently and worshipfully fear Him. The fear of God is referred to hundreds and hundreds of times in the Scriptures, over and over again. And yet, you know, when we hear the word fear, we think, well, we're not supposed to have any fear. And that's true. But we need to distinguish between godly fear and the reverence of the Lord and ungodly, devilish fear. We haven't been given the spirit of fear, that kind of fear, right? And of course, it's a matter of words and definition of words, but don't get hung up on that. The main thing is to get the spirit of it. And one way you can tell the difference between the two, 1 John 4 talks about fear has torment. this ungodly, devilish fear that we're not supposed to have anything to do with.
Amen.
That is spiritual contraband to us. We're not supposed to touch it. We're not to be afraid in that sense at all of anything. But Hebrews talks about reverence, that we may serve, let us have grace whereby we may serve God with reverence and godly fear. This is New Testament. And New Testament refers repeatedly to the fear of the Lord. And we see it's not this tormenting fear that we're going to be punished, that God's going to hurt us, that He's going to do something to us, because we've been redeemed. We've been freed from all our sin. Therefore, there's no punishment of sin coming on us. There's no judgment coming on us. So we don't have to be concerned about fearing God in being judged, because Jesus was judged in our place. We're standing in His righteousness, so we're completely delivered from fear of judgment and fear of God judging us, so we can come boldly before the throne of grace. Boldly. That's an amazing thing. That's an amazing thing. We who have, you know, made so many mistakes and who know so little and you know, all of that stuff, yet we're not coming in that. We're coming in the righteousness of the Master. And we can come boldly right before the throne of grace. But now we ought not come arrogantly. There's a difference between bold and arrogant, isn't there? Even though we come boldly, we ought to come very respectfully. Very reverently, and to use the phrase, in the fear, godly fear, of the Lord. Not afraid He's going to hurt us, but just so respectful and aware of how great He is and how big He is, how awesomely wonderful He is. Realizing we've only seen this much of Him. Surely His salvation is near to those who reverence Him. Our land will be filled with His glory. And we've established and seen beyond a question that there is a connection between reverencing God and His salvation and His glory being manifested. To those who reverence God, the salvation, healing, deliverance, preservation, protection is right there, ready to be manifested to those who respect and reverence Him. The Bible said, you know, that God is close to, near to the contrite, humble heart. But the proud He knoweth afar off, because they stink. Now, how many like the idea of God doing like this with you? Afar off. Then how do we, not be in a way that's offensive to Him? Humble. Respectful. Now, you do know we live in a generation that's lost a lot of this. Do you? We live in a generation, many folk don't have a clue about honor and respect. They didn't learn it at home. They didn't learn it at school. They just don't know it. And they just talk anyway, and they just act anyway. Nothing is important to them. Nothing is something they should be quiet and submit to and show reverence and respect. They're just loud and rude and crude and uncouth and think that is the American way. I mean, you know, many of us are Americans. Whatever country you're from, you ought to be glad and thankful for it. But before we're American or anything else, we're Christian. 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 We represent Him. Right? And we are to, like He said, we ought to have believe and have grace. It's only by His grace that we serve God acceptably with this reverence and this godly fear. Now, you have to have a heart for it. You know, if you don't have a heart for it, you wouldn't even want to hear teaching like this. You think, nah, tell me how to get rich. I'm not interested in all this. you know, all this formalism and all this. I've been delivered from all that bondage. No, this ain't bondage. This is not bondage. In fact, let me show you a wonderful verse. Over in the book of Isaiah, if you would. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Isaiah 33, thank you, Lord. Isaiah 33. Is the Lord helping us again today? Yes, He is. He's so wonderful. No man or woman can reveal light and truth to another man or woman. Can't be done. You ever tried? Huh? You ever saw something that you got excited about and you tried to show it to somebody else? and you go, oh, glory to God. Glory to God. You got to see this. You got to see this verse. Oh, man. And they read it and they read it and go, yeah, da, da, da. Yeah, praise the Lord. You go, no, no, no. Now, you don't see it. See, it said, da, 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 da. And they go, yeah, da, 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 da. No, no. See, it said. You can't show it to them. You want to open up their head and reach down and stick it down in there, but you can't. Now, God uses men and women, and if men and women are anointed, and God gives utterance, and it comes out, somebody said, well, then the preacher revealed it to me. No, he didn't. No, she didn't. No. It came out. Part of it might have come through them. But unless and until the Holy Ghost reaches down inside you and turns the light on, you don't see it. And when you see it, He did it. He did it. The man didn't do it. The woman didn't do it. He did it. He did it. Thank God He does it so wonderfully. He knows how to speak every language, every accent, right? Knows exactly how to say it to you, to get it across to you. Isaiah 33, notice this. Isaiah 33 and 5. The Lord is exalted, for He dwells on high. He has filled Zion with judgment and righteousness. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times. And strength of salvation, the fear of the Lord is His treasure. Listen to the NIV on this. He will be the sure foundation for your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. Did you hear that? Let me read that again. That's the NIV. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. The key to what treasure? The rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. Now that's not a stretch. Well, that's our text said that. The salvation of the Lord is near to who? Those that fear Him. You get the picture of this vast storehouse filled with a rich store of preservation, healing, deliverance, salvation, and wisdom, and knowledge. How do I get into all that? The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. Now you can see it over and over again. Read through sometimes the book of Proverbs and see how many times he connects this thought with the wisdom and understanding of God. Fools don't care to know it. And when they hear it, they don't appreciate it. And they want to hear something else. I mean, you know, you try to share a CD or a DVD or of some of these services with some people and they're like, ah, I want to see a game. Right? I ain't got time to watch this stuff. Well, that's a fool. They don't know what's valuable. They think this entertainment is more valuable than this rich store of salvation and wisdom and understanding. I know some years ago, well, back in the 70s, Phyllis and I were really getting a hold of faith. And I mean, I hadn't got over it yet. Just changed my, I found out, we didn't starve, but we were relatively poor. And my parents and their parents, and we didn't know anybody that was rich and struggled and fixed what you had. And I mean, I found that God wanted to bless me. Wanted me to have new stuff. Boy, that's a revelation to me. I thought, new stuff? And that God wanted all of us healed? Oh, glory to God. All of us filled with the Holy Ghost. And I started feeding on these materials. And some of them were the Copelands. Feeding on these materials. I mean, night and day. Every evening I'd get in from work. I'd go to our little 1969 Marriott mobile home, which was wore out when we bought it. And get my little tape player that's about that big and battery operated, you know, and listen to those tapes until bedtime. And man, I got so full of excitement about the Word of God. And so, you know, I want to share it with my friends. What are y'all laughing about? Y'all did the same thing, huh? And I tried. And looking back, you know, 20 years, 25, 30 years later, I was, you know, visiting some folks and doing some things and heard some reports about some folk that I knew and good friends with back during that period of time. And I realized some of these folks right where they were 30 years ago, spiritually, have not grown, have not developed, have not advanced. And I was thinking, Lord, they heard the same thing I did during that time. And the Lord said, no, uh-uh. How many remember the scripture said, take heed how you hear? Somebody say, how you hear.
How you hear.
How you hear. For the measure you meet to it, that's how it'll be measured back to you. Right? Scripture said, take heed what you hear. Also said, take heed how you hear. Now we're going to get into this morning practical application, how to show reverence, how to show respect. It's a great big subject, but I want to just give an overview, a summary of it, and you can sum it up in four statements. How do I show respect, Brother Keith? How do I show reverence? Well, it's in how you hear, how you see, how you speak, and how you treat. Let me go over that again. How do I show respect? How do I show reverence? And if I'm already showing some, how do I increase it? How do I show more? Number one's what? How do you hear? And in talking about that, the Lord reminded me that during that period of time, I tried to share some of these tapes with some of my friends. And when I heard it, I thought, I'm reminded of what the psalmist David said. He said, I delight at your word more than he who has found a great spoil. Your word is better to me than thousands of silver and gold. Well, what's he doing? He values it, which means he respects it. To honor something means to place a high value on it. You don't honor what you don't value. And so I would share some of this with some folk. And I'd say, you know, did you listen to it? I said, no, I hadn't listened to it yet. Next week, he said, have you listened to it yet? No, I hadn't got around to it yet. Oh, man, you got to listen to it. Now, this will change your life. You got to listen to this. And no, finally, you know, did you listen to it? Yeah, I listened to part of it. Well, what about it? Oh, I don't know. I mean, I get enough preaching when I go to church. And you see, I was telling the Lord, well, Lord, they heard the same thing I heard. He said, no, they didn't. You valued it. And it changed your life. They didn't value it. And it didn't change their life. Now, see, isn't that what we've been talking about all week? If I value it, there's going to be a manifestation of the glory of it in my life. If you don't esteem it, it's not going to be a manifestation of power in your life from it. And so people try to think, well, I didn't get anything out of that. Must not be much to it. Well, no, all the time people sit in the same service, hear the same word. One person gets excited and changed. The other person leaves bored and unchanged. They were in the same service. They heard the same thing. They were in the same atmosphere, but one esteemed it. The other one did not. Oh, come on. Are y'all with me this morning? This is important. This is important. One valued it. One honored it. One said, oh, this is glory to God. This is the word of God. The other one thought, oh, I've heard all that before. And depending on how you heard it, the measure of respect, the measure of reverence, the measure of value and honor you give that word determines the measure of glory and power and change that's manifested in your life. And you know as well as I that you grow a little bit, you can hear things you didn't hear before. You can go back and hear the very same tape or read the same book and get things that you didn't even see the first 10 times. I know I had the privilege of working with Brother Kenneth Hagin in his healing school, and they gave me a job. What a job. My job was to check all of the tapes, to watch them. Off of videos, out of the vault that hadn't been made available. That was my job. And it was back in that day, you had to have these great big giant, what were those video tapes? I mean, they were like this big, you know. And so I'd take all that stuff, and that was my job, to watch it, and watch it, and watch it. And some of these tapes, man, after a few years, I'd sit there and I'd go, glory to God. It was healing school, and I thought, man, I must not have been there that day. I don't even remember hearing it. And the camera had panned, and there I am on the front row, and I thought, I don't remember. Here, why? Well, you know, when you're at a certain place spiritually, you just don't hear some things. You just don't relate to them. It just doesn't click. But you keep growing, and how many understand, you hear the same thing, and yet you'll hear all kind of things that you didn't hear the first time or the first 10 times. That's why we just need to keep hearing and hearing. And the preachers need to keep preaching some of the same things, right? Because there's graduated levels of revelation in the same thing. In the same truth, the same scripture, the same verse. Can you say glory to God?
Glory to God.
Go to 1 Thessalonians. How much time you got today?
All day.
All day. Well, you must value the word. Let's go over those four simple steps again. How do you show respect? How do you show reverence? By how you hear something. Now, if you're letting your mind wander and you're not even paying attention to what you're hearing, are you respecting it?
No.
No, you're not. And see, people do that all the time, don't they? Any little old thing. The Lord taught me graphically about this one time. There was a young man that had trouble with drugs and a bunch of stuff that he just, his life was just a mess. And the Lord dealt with Phyllis and I to help him and minister to him. And so we took him in and we're doing some things and we're in a service with him. I wasn't preaching that day. But he was sitting, you know, like two chairs down from us. And he needed some things so desperately. And about this time, the man of God that was preaching that day, the minister, walked over from the pulpit, stood almost right in front of where we were. And it wasn't in his particular subject, but started talking about some specific things that were just tailor-made for this young man. I mean, it was an answer from God. God was speaking, and this man didn't know it. And this individual that's with us, he didn't know this man. But at the same time, actually about 5 seconds before, there was some kind of little noise or distraction in the back, a baby crying or some kind of thing, and this young man turned around and looked at that, and I could tell he's not even hearing what's going on from the pulpit. And I mean, it was alarming me. I'm thinking, God is moving in a special way to minister to this young man. I know it. And he's not even listening to him. And I started to reach over there and grab him and shake him. And the Lord said, no, leave him alone. Just watch this. Just watch this. And so I watched it. And the man, you know, finished sharing that and bringing those. And I mean, it was from God, specific answer for this young man's life. And about that time, he finished up and he walked back over to the pulpit and to cut back on his subject where he started. And about that time, the commotion stopped and the young man turned around. Missed the whole thing. It was like the man didn't even say it as far as he was concerned. And God was moving for him. And I said, Lord. He said, this happens all the time, Keith. He said, this happens all the time. He said, Satan is a master of distraction. And if you are immature and have small powers of concentration and are easily distracted, then it'll happen all the time. The Lord will begin to speak or do something for you, and the devil will go, hey, hey, over here, over here. And people will go, oh, what's going on over there? And just and miss the thing. But how many know if God is speaking, where should we be? Are you with me now? Where should we be? Our mind should not be out at the fried chicken place. Right? I mean, our thoughts should not be in our office or our bills or our stuff. Or I mean, when God is saying something, we should treat it as valuable and precious. This is the word of the Lord. He's talking to us. We have a lot of room to grow in this area, don't we? But the more we do, does it make a difference how you hear? Let's think, remember the verse again. Take heed, Jesus said, take heed how you hear. Well, in fact, let's just look at it. I've been quoting it, but let's look at it. You're in 1 Thessalonians 2, but go to Luke. The 8th chapter. Thank you, Father. I didn't have all this planned this morning. The Lord's talking to us. Thank you, Master. Luke 8, are you there? Luke 8, Jesus, the Master. Verse 18 says, take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whosoever has, to him shall be given. And whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away, or taken, even that which he seemeth to have. What does that mean? To him that hath shall be given. If you put the other scriptures with this that refer to this, the idea is him that values and uses what he has. Esteems it, treasures it, and does everything he knows how to do with it. Well, that all goes together. I mean, if you value it, you're going to do what you know to do with it. He that, take heed how you hear. To him that hath, shall more be given. Now, with that in mind, read this very next verse in 1 Thessalonians, where you're holding your place. 1 Thessalonians 2. 1 Thessalonians 2. While you go over there, say, take heed how.
Take heed
how you hear. And we're talking about practical ways of showing respect. Do you know what one of the most blatantly disrespectful, irreverent things to do when you're hearing something is? Interrupt. Interrupting is rude. Interrupting shows your lack of understanding, and it is a statement that you value what the person is saying so little that you can't wait for them to finish their sentence. Now, many people have grown up in homes where everybody talked at the same time and everybody interrupted each other continuously, and that's just normal, but it's not good. I said it's not good. I had a good teacher along this line, Brother Hagin. And he valued his words. And he didn't just motor mouth. And I don't know at the times that somebody'd want to come see him about something. And of course, he couldn't see everybody, but once in a while he'd make time. And I remember we were sitting in the speaker's room one time, and this guy wanted to see him so bad. And they said, yeah, he could see him. And I got up to leave. He said, no, you just stay. So I sat back down. And the guy came in, and he talked, 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 and he talked. And Brother Hagin started to say something, and he interrupted him and said something, you know. Of course, he respects Brother Hagin. He thinks. And so I knew it as 5 minutes went by and 10 minutes went by. I thought, you should shut up. But I didn't say anything, because I'm not supposed to. Then I'd have been messing up. So I just sat there, and I know, you know, Brother Hagin's got a service here for long. He's going to, and finally, Brother Hagin just smiled and said, well, it was nice to meet you. And I got a service and got up and left. And the guy looked baffled, but it was his own fault. He had no respect for who he was sitting with. Not enough respect to be quiet and listen. Are y'all with me on this now? I know we were somewhere, this is some years ago, Phyllis and I, and a minister was, that we didn't know, he was taking us in the car to this meeting, and he just talked and talked and talked and talked, talked and talked and talked. And we got to the place, and he caught Phyllis on the side and said, you know, Brother Keith is really quiet. He don't say much. And Phyllis said, she said it before she even thought about it. She said, well, he rarely interrupts people. Then she said, I probably shouldn't have said that. But interrupting is a bad habit. It is disrespectful. It is, you know, a lot of people just are, they're not trained to listen. How many of the Bible said, be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath and get angry? A lot of folk practice that verse in reverse. Right? They are quick to talk, quick to get mad, and slow to hear. And it's bad. It means you are a disrespectful individual. You don't know much about honor. Particularly when we know the Lord is speaking. Or the Lord could be speaking in this situation. You can wait till somebody finishes their sentence. Can't you? And don't just be loading your guns behind your back of what you going to say as soon as they hush up. Actually be listening. Well, you could spend the rest of the time right here now, couldn't you? I mean, so many times folk are not listening. I don't know at the times the Lord has given me a word for people. Now, I didn't say it, da 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 da, thus saith the Lord. I didn't say that, but it was straight from Him. I didn't think it up. He gave it to me, and I gave it to them, and they just blinked their eyes and went, you know, we're having a lovely day, and you know they didn't get it. And so you say, well, you say it again, and you say it slowly, and they're like, yeah, praise the Lord, glory to God. And you know they didn't hear it at all. Their head is just so full of stuff, and they just want to talk. They just want to talk. They just like the sound of their own voice. They just want to talk. And it's costing them. I said it's costing them. This casualness and this disrespect is costing. You need to know who you're with. You need to know who you're around. You need to show respect to gifts and callings and offices. Right? You need to show respect to the Word of God. And one way you do it is by not interrupting. Somebody said, how you hear? How you hear? What else do we talk about? How you see things, how you speak or talk about things, how you treat things or handle things. These are all practical applications. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, he said, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. 2:13, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Now look at the next part. Look at the next part. Does it make any difference how you hear something? How you receive it? He said, because you received it as the word of God, not the word of men, he said, it is effectually working in you. That's a manifestation of glory. The word of God didn't just come and bounce off your ears. It's working in you. It's changing you. It's producing changes in your life. The power of God, glory of God, is being manifested. Why? Because when you heard it, you didn't just go, oh, praise the Lord, we had some preaching today. No, you said, that was God. That was God, and I respect it. Oh, Lord, that's a treasure. That's a treasure, and I receive that into my life, and I will be a doer of that. That'll be with me from now on. People who really do that, the word works effectively in their life. There are many others who just, it goes in one ear and out the other, and it doesn't change them. And so they think it doesn't work because it didn't produce any benefit in their life, not realizing it was the way they heard it. It was the lack of respect and esteem. Now go with me, if you would, please, to Matthew. Y'all believe in God with me this morning? I know you are. To Matthew, actually, this is in Matthew's account, but go to Mark first, then we'll go to Matthew. We're going to go to Mark 6, and then we're going to go to Matthew 10. Let's do it this way. Mark 6 and Matthew 10. Boy, I got enough here for four services. Well, you're believing with me, right? Mark 6 and verse 1. Tell me again practical ways to show respect. How you hear, how you see it, how you speak about it, how you treat it, or how you handle it. You'll see all these in this passage right here. Mark 6 and 1. He, Jesus, went out from thence and came unto his own country, his home country. This is where he grew up. And his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. Now get the picture. Who's the guest speaker today? Jesus. The Master. Should everybody be there?
Yes.
Wide awake?
Yes.
Should you be focused?
Yes.
Shouldn't be daydreaming?
Yes.
No nail clipping or gum smacking? Right? Just. But now the thing is, Isaiah prophesied and said, when he comes, there's no beauty or comeliness about him that we should desire him. See, they saw him as a preacher. They didn't see him as the Son of God. And as such, as you know in this passage you're about to see, they disrespected him to this day. They lightly esteemed him on this day, and it cost them. And most of them never even knew it. The Bible said he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, but not in a good way. They said, from whence has this man these things? Now let's just stop right here. How do you show respect? How you hear? So stop. How are they hearing him? How are they seeing him? Are they seeing him even as an anointed prophet? No, they're not. Because we know him. And here, notice this. Notice the phrase. They said, from whence has this man? You hear that terminology? This man. How you speak about somebody says volumes about your respect or lack of for them. Without going there, let's see. Help me find that, Lord. Please stand by. Without going there, John 9:29, you just stay right where you are in Mark. But in John 29, they said about Jesus, they said, we know God spoke to Moses. But as for this fella, now they didn't cuss him, but what'd they say? How many know you don't call the master this fella? How you speak. As for this fella, we don't know where he come from. Talking about Jesus. Somebody say, this fella. That is a term of disrespect. Remember, the Bible talks about, the Lord said, those that honor me, I will honor. Those that despise me will be lightly esteemed. And really, despise has the same meaning of the lightly esteemed. In our modern vernacular, some way or another, we think despise means detest, disgust, and we don't understand the full breadth of it in the Bible. In the word, just to fail to respect something is to despise it. So they despised him that day, didn't they? They treated him of little value, little worth. How you refer to someone, how you refer to things, shows your respect or lack thereof. Out of the abundance of the heart, it comes out, right? You may try to hide it, but it's going to come out of you if it's in there. And we have ignored some things because of our disrespectful generation. How many remember 1 Peter 3 talks about that Sarah called Abraham Lord? See how quiet it gets? You can almost hear ladies thinking, if you think I'm calling Milton Lord, you got another thought. I didn't write that. Well, it's not my idea. But before the passage is over, it talks about the man showing honor unto the wife also. Well, now, probably a word that we would be more accustomed with than Lord in the old English language would be sir. But what's wrong with men and women referring to each other respectfully? What's wrong with that? I've seen children. They come up to me, I'm not talking about little ones, you know, the fair size, come up and say, you know, they kept talking about Shirley this and Shirley that. I thought, who's Shirley? They said, oh, you know my mom. Calling their mom by her first name. Somebody said, oh, that ain't no big deal. It is a big deal. Because that mentality permeates every part of your life. And if you're that way with your mom, you are that way with God, I assure you. I was at a place some years back, and it was a person who had gone to Rhema like I had, been involved in Rhema. And I met them, shook their hand, how you doing? They said, yeah. They said, how's the old man doing? Who are they talking about? Brother Hagin. How's the old man? I looked at them like they'd cussed. I thought, and my thing was, why don't you know any better than that? Why don't you know any better than that? And somebody said, what'd you say to him? Nothing. He wasn't open. I knew in my heart, if I'd have said something that just upset him, made him mad, and he thought I was trying to be super spiritual or whatever, he just wasn't open. He didn't have ears to hear it. Someone said, well, what's the big deal? I assure you, that is costing that man in his ministry. Because if you're that way, if he's that way with his father in the faith, he's that way with God. You don't just flip a switch and turn into somebody else when you get to the pulpit. You are who you are and what you are. And our love for God is directly revealed in our love for people. And our respect for God is directly revealed in our respect for people. Don't think that you're so casual and disrespectful with everybody, but you're so reverent with God. Cannot be. You're deceiving yourself. No way. Our respect for God, you can tell, we know how respectful of God you are by how you treat people. It's shown. It's seen. And so, do we want to become more respectful of God? Then how do we act on it? Well, we talk to Him every day, but we also rub shoulders with each other every day, right? And that is the real acid test, right? Showing respect, showing deference, talking about people properly. Not my old man, not my old lady. Are you with me now? I said, I don't go for all that, formal stuff. We're not talking about formality. We're talking about genuine respect, which is valuing somebody. No, it's not my old lady. That's my wonderful woman of God. That's my queen. Are you listening? It's not just a southern thing, yes sir, yes ma'am, no ma'am. It's a godly thing. I said it's a godly thing because how you talk to somebody and how you talk about somebody reveals how you value them.
That's right.
So the terminology, very important. As for this fella, we don't know where he comes from. They're talking about Jesus the Master. And here on this day, go back to Mark 6 now, you're still there, I guess. They said, for this man, where did he get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? They said this in a sarcastic way. Is not this the carpenter? Now again, how are they referring to him? How are they talking to him? He's not a man of God. He's the carpenter. He's this guy. This fella. He ain't nothing special. Isn't that what they're saying? Who is he standing up saying he's anointed? Because it was his practice to stand up and read out of the book of Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord's on me because he's anointed me. And this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. That's the kind of thing they were hearing and they thought, what? Yeah. You're the anointed prophet. Yeah, and I'm king of the land. Yeah. We know you, boy. We know you. You grew up right over there. Everybody knows you. We know your brothers. We know your sisters. One said, yeah, I used to help his mama change his diaper. Well, yeah, he fixed a plow stock for me back 2 months ago. He's the carpenter. And they could not see him as anything more. And here's the problem. When you can't see anybody as anything more, you can't receive through them anything more. Oh, did you see this now? Do you know the rest of the passage? He could there do no mighty work. Didn't say he decided not to. Didn't say he got upset and offended because they were treating him this way and said, well, forget you. I'm not going to even try to minister to you. No, he wasn't that fickle and that shallow. He tried to minister. Even when they were disrespecting him like this, he still laid hands on some people. And they got some results. But no mighty works happened there. Why? Read it. You're right there at it. Verse 5. What does it say? And he what? Decided not to? Chose to wait? No. Could there do no mighty work? He couldn't do it. You talking about Jesus couldn't do it? That's right. Because he said, I can't do anything of myself. Because he's operating not as God, he's operating as a man. So friend, is this true with all of us today? How we look at each other. How we view our ministers. How we view our pastors and our men and women of God and our elders. Is it affecting what we're getting? Is it affecting how much power and glory is manifesting with us? Obviously, Jesus was ready for the Father to use him for them to have a glorious outpouring right here in his own hometown. Wasn't he? You can see every indication. He was ready for the Father to use him and for them to have blind eyes open and deaf ears and lame walk and demoniacs people and people delivered by the thousands. He was ready. He was ready to minister just like he had done in other places. But no, they said, he's the carpenter. He ain't a preacher. We know him. Well, everybody comes from somewhere. Right? Everybody had a mom and daddy, had a, you know, grew up somewhere and had to learn how to walk and eat and everybody. God's using people like you, like me. Here's the problem though. We must grow up enough that we can see past the flesh. We need to especially do this in our own home with our spouses. That was too quiet. I said, with our spouses. What was their problem? They knew him. They had seen him after the flesh, and that's all they could see. And because that's all they could see, that's all they could get. That's all they could receive through him. And you got to watch it. You got to watch it. People that you live with day in and day out. People that you're in church with all the time. And you're doing natural things with them. You see them after the flesh. You see them after the flesh. You might see them make a mistake. But friend, we might not be able to just respect and honor everything that a person ever says or does. But we must respect the place. We must respect the call. We must respect the anointing that God has chosen and appointed and given, or elsewise we disrespect God himself. People called and anointed and appointed, they didn't call themselves, they didn't anoint themselves. God does that. Say it out loud, Lord, help me to grow up, to develop, so that I can see past the flesh. See past the familiar.
See
past what I know.
Past
the experiences.
Past the experience.
And see you.
And
see you.
See you.
And honor you.
In people.
Hallelujah.
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 Will it make a difference?
Yes.
Oh, what kind of difference could it have been this day? What did they miss? They were not aware of the hour of their visitation. They didn't know who was in their midst. They didn't know who was there. You see that so many times today. You know, people like to read books about great men and women of God and how wonderful they were and people that they only see on the platform or from afar off or they only see on TV. Oh, they're amazing. They're wonderful. Because all you ever see is a few minutes of them under the anointing. Right? But I assure you, they got flesh just like you. Right? And The problem is that sometimes they've got somebody close to them. They got a man of God in their local church. They got a woman of God in their life. They got people that have similar calls and graces. But they don't even acknowledge them because, oh, that's Susie. Oh, I've known her since high school. Oh, that's Bobby. Yeah, we go way back. Yeah, I know when he used to do all this goofy stuff. Well, God uses people. And if they've been forgiven and cleansed, he don't even see that anymore. It's gone. But the thing is, if we can't get past seeing our high school buddy or our, you know, our wife and friend and housemate for 20, 30, 40 years, then we will not be receiving the benefit of the anointing on their lives. They will be restricted in our presence. Do you see this? They said, ain't this, this is the carpenter. Let me read this to you from the Message translation. The next breath they said, he's just a carpenter. Did you hear that? He's just a carpenter, Mary's boy. See, how do you speak about somebody? How do you talk about it? I'm sure they did not see what they were saying and doing. Mary's boy. Well, I mean, that's true. But it's so disrespectful when you say it like that and when you don't see him as anything more. We've known him since he was a kid. We know his brothers, James, Justice, Jude, Simon, and his sisters. Who does he think he is? And Jesus wasn't able to do much of anything there. Jesus wasn't able to do much of anything there. Jesus wasn't able to do much of anything there. Well, if it was true of him, it's true of me, it's true of any man or woman of God or pastor you've ever seen, right? Are we, all the ministry gifts and the Lord himself, restricted by the level of respect that people are hearing and seeing and speaking and treating with? It's true. It's true. Now go to Matthew, please. I think we can close with this before too long, but are you in a big hurry? Or? No. Let's get through before we stop. And let's go ahead and stop when we get through too. Matthew 10. Thank you, Father. Jesus said in that last passage we were looking at, while you're going to Matthew 10, he said, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. Why would that be? Well, the people that are around him or her the most see him after the flesh, night and day. You have to have some spiritual maturity about you to see beyond that. Don't you? To see up above that. You know them after the flesh. You might have seen their mistakes. You might have seen them, their faults. You see their humanity. But that doesn't mean they're not called of God. And that doesn't mean they're not anointed. That doesn't mean amazing things can't come through them. Right? And if you can't get past just looking at that flesh, you're restricted. The manifestation of glory is severely limited where you're concerned. He said, a prophet's not without honor. Now in Matthew 10, notice this, Matthew 10, down in verse 40. Jesus said, he that receives you, Matthew 10, 40, receives me. Is that true? Think about it now. What if Jesus came in here today? Would you act any differently than if he sent somebody here? Well, we do. I said, we do. Certainly, because we thought, well, hey, that's Joe. And then, of course, you got Jesus. And Joe ain't Jesus. So certainly, we'd get more excited with Jesus coming in than we do Joe. Yeah, but the master said, if I send Joe, you need to receive him like me. You know he ain't me, but I send him. And if you respect me, you'll respect the one I send. This is what it means, in the name of. That's what it means. So many people have just cheapened that and made it so small. They think in the name of Jesus is almost like hocus pocus, abracadabra, some kind of magical incantation. In the name of Jesus. No, in the name of Jesus means He sent me. He authorized me. I speak on His behalf. I represent Him. I'm not coming in my own name. I'm coming in His name. Oh, did you hear that? Do you see this? Well, if somebody comes to us, well, in fact, keep reading here. Verse 41, he that, let me back up again. Verse 40, he that receives you receives me. He that receives me receives him that sent me. In the scriptures, you put them all together. Is it okay to believe in the Father but not Jesus? It is not. It is not. If you don't receive Jesus, 1 John talks about you don't have God. But if you receive Jesus, you have Him and the Father too. Because why is that? Because if you don't receive Jesus, you have rejected the Father. And you've called Him a liar. I'm quoting from 1 John. Right? Because He said, this is my Son. Believe on Him. And if you don't do that, then you have disrespected the Father. And you can't be okay with the Father disrespecting the Son. It'd be like trying to say, Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. Oh, Holy Spirit. Now, we don't believe in Jesus. But we welcome you, Holy Spirit. Oh, can't be. Because when He comes, He doesn't even speak of Himself. Right? He represents the Master and the Father. And Jesus never represented Himself, did He? He represented the Father. That's why it's all so pure. It's all so clean and right. God is big on delegation. You know what I mean by that? He's huge on it. Big. Somebody says, well, I love the Lord, but I'm not making a big deal out of any of these men or women around here. You have just messed up. Because if He picked them and sent them, He expects you to receive them like Himself. It's a good study sometimes, look in the Old Testament with David. David understood honor. He got it from God. And there's more than one occasion where he demonstrated it. And the Bible would say that David would do such and such, but actually it was through his representatives. And at one point they came to Hanan. His father had died, and David sent messengers, and they came in the name of David. And they said, we come on behalf of our master David, our King David, to show respect to your dad and to show honor because he was kind to our king and he sends word through us. We come and speak on his behalf. And his counselors called him off to the side and said, David's not honoring your daddy. These guys are spies. Come in here to spy. Why? Because honor was such a foreign concept to them. They couldn't relate to it. They thought there had to be some subversive ulterior motive. But it wasn't. He was just trying to show respect. But so they shaved off half of these guys' beards and cut off their robes so that their body was exposed. Humiliated them. Well, you understand, when they came back, David heard about it. He said, no, don't come into town. Don't let people see you like this. Just stay out there till your beards grow back and you get over this. But David took it personally. Did you understand? They might as well have shaved off David's beard and cut off his robe. There was war. There was war. Why? Because those guys did not come in their own name. They said, we come in the name of David. Well, friends, when someone genuinely comes in the name of Jesus, we're to understand we respect them like Jesus. We know they're not Jesus, but why? He told us to. He said, if you receive the one I send, you have received me. If you receive me, he said, you receive the one who sent me, the Father. Oh, do you see this? Keep reading. Keep reading. He said, he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive what? A prophet's reward. Now this in a statement says what we've been preaching on for the last 2-3 days. Doesn't it? Does it affect what you get out of ministry based on how you see the ministry? If you receive a prophet, how? In the name of a prophet. Now you got to tie that back into the previous verse. What does that mean? A prophet of God. One called and sent by God. If you receive them like that, you're going to get the full reward of that ministry. But we could use another week on this, couldn't we? The full reward of what is that full? I'm going to take a few minutes and get into that just a little bit. The full reward of the ministry. But keep reading. He said, and he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink to one of these little ones a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple. Now, if you read Mark 9, 41 or so, it says, because they belong to me. Why? This is a little one. They are not an elder. They are not a prophet of God. They're a little one. They're just a young believer. But you give them just something as small as a cup of cold water. Why? Because they belong to the Lord. You love them. You're doing it because you love them. But there's something bigger going on here too. You're doing it because of whose they are. Because of the respect that you have for Him. Oh, come on, do you see this? Is this getting in you now? Oh, glory to God. You know, we had the privilege of serving with the Hagans for some years, Brother Kenneth and Miss Aretha Hagan, who are in heaven now. And I had people ask me, you know, as the years went by, the Lord helped us to just stay steady. And there were times, you know, after 20 years, that He'd call me for something, I'd come running. Literally, run. And He'd call us for something. I'd just drop everything and we'd go get involved with it. And people would say, man, you must love them. Why do you do that way? And I said, well, we do. We do love them, but it's more than that. Yes. Are you listening? Yes. It's more than loving them. Why? The Lord Himself told us to help them. And I'm acknowledged that God called him and anointed him. So why am I moving like this? Yes, I love him. Yes, I respect him. But it's much more than that. I love the Lord. I respect him. And to do something different would be to disrespect him. Love for people is great, but it only goes so far. Are you listening? And people can make mistakes and you can have all kind of feelings. But friend, when you're doing what you're doing out of love and commitment to God and out of respect and reverence for Him, that overshadows all of people's weaknesses and your weaknesses and your tiredness and everything else. It'll keep you steady until you finish your race, till you complete your course. Say it out loud, I do what I do. Out of respect for the Lord. I treat people with respect, because I respect Him. Hallelujah. Can you see that? Go with me to 2 Kings. Perhaps we can close with this. But I think we should take the time. Because how many would like to know more about the prophet's reward? That's what we're specifically talking about right now. 2 Kings and the 4th chapter. Again, talking about Brother Hagin. If you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. Well, he operated in that ministry. But I'd see numerous times we'd go to places and people would receive him as a teacher, because they loved his teaching and enjoyed hearing the teaching. But they didn't even acknowledge, maybe this particular church, they didn't even really know if there was a prophet's ministry nowadays, and so they just, you know, they didn't really want to hear about much about that. Oh, but they like to hear good teaching. Well, then they'd receive him as a teacher, as a great teacher, and you'd hear him talking about that. Oh, he's a fine teacher. He's a great teacher. Oh, he's an anointed teacher of God. And he was, but he was more. But they'd receive him as a teacher, and in the name of a teacher. What do you think kind of services we had? Great teaching. Right? They received a teacher's reward. But we did, I knew the difference. I had seen the other, and we didn't have that. And they didn't even know what they missed. They just thought, man, wasn't that some good teaching? That was some great teaching. And I'm thinking, yeah, but there is so much more. And then there are other places. I'm thinking of one place. And the pastor, he knew about some of these things. He taught his bunch on the ministry of the prophet for, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks before we got there. And I mean, Brother Hagin stepped on the platform, started prophesying. He just stepped right over into that. First night, first 10 minutes. And then begin to see and begin to speak out, you know, by the word of the Lord and begin to operate. What did they do? They received him in the name of a prophet. What'd they get? The full benefit, the full reward of that ministry. So whether it's your pastor at home or here, or whether it's your man of God in your own house or your woman of God in your own house, the first step of getting more of the glory manifested is you seeing them differently. Had four heads nod. And not just them, yourself. Seeing them differently. Seeing yourself differently. And oh, we're not talking about making a big deal out of flesh. Now, we talked about that last night. When something happens, you ought to know who did it. Don't be confused about it. Don't get crossed up in all that. But you got to believe God can use you. And God can use others. And he can anoint and sanctify these vessels for amazing purposes. And wonderful and holy and glorious things can come out of them and through them. And through us. But we got to see each other in this higher way to open this up. Well, you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. That has a multifold meaning. I'm going to mention three areas of the prophet's reward. One of them we've already mentioned. The full benefit of the prophet's ministry. We gave you the illustration, instead of limited to teaching, you see the full benefit. The benefit of the seer. The benefit of the word of the Lord coming through. And you see in 2 Kings 4, a woman who did this. 2 Kings 4, are you there? A woman who received the prophet in the name of a prophet. You know it, but read it like you've not seen it before, because there are things in here we've not seen. 2 Kings 4 and 8. It fell on a day that Elisha, the man of God, passed to Shunem, where there was a great woman. Now this means she had substance and wealth. And she constrained him to eat bread. Now let's just stop right here. Whose idea was it for him to stay there? Hers. Oh man, this is another message right here. How can I say this, Lord? There are so many people, they don't realize their pride is limiting them. They think, well, if somebody would come to me and give me an opportunity to honor them, I would. Mm-mm. That's not how it works. If you got it in your heart strong enough, you go to them. You take the initiative. Well, I tried that and they didn't need me for anything. Well, if God put it in your heart, keep showing up. Say, you need me today? I'm here. Can I help you today? Can I do anything for you today? Well, no, they didn't use me. I came there five times. Well, are you going to be easily miffed and hurt and full of pride? Or are you going to value what God shows you to value? If he tells you to help, you know, the last several years of our association with the Hagans, rich, oh my, rich, the meetings we were in and the things we're involved in. But you know why we were there? I mean, he used us in several capacities before that, but we had already resigned from the school and ministry. We were in our own ministry. We're traveling full time. And I was out someplace in a meeting in prayer, and the Lord said, I never released you from helping him. I said, huh? Because I just assumed, you know, most everybody, when they left, they went into their own ministry and things, and we were busy up to our eyes. And he said, no, you do have a responsibility in your ministry, but I never released you from helping him. I thought, well, what should I do? He said, you need to find him. So I thought, Lord. So I talked to Phyllis about it. She said, okay, that bears witness with me. So we found them there in the other side of the country having a meeting, and we showed up, and they were glad to see us. And they said, well, what are y'all doing? You enjoying your ministry? We said, yeah. Could we talk to you? He said, sure. Can we help you? Now, they had people all around them helping them, wonderful people, great people. But we said, can we help you? They said, what do you mean? Well, can we do anything for you? Phyllis said, can we iron clothes? Can we drive cars? Can we? And they said, well, let's pray about it. So they prayed and said, yeah. So from then on, we followed them around. You know, try, you know, maybe they didn't need us, but here we are. But you keep showing up, you'll get used. You keep being available, you keep being ready, you'll get used. We didn't just sit by and wait for them to notice us and come find us and ask us, pretty please, will you help me? Do y'all see this now? See, so many people are sitting by waiting for somebody to notice them, waiting for somebody to come to them. Well, who do you think you are? That people should come to you and seek you out. What did the scripture say? What did this woman do? She went to him. And what else did she do? She constrained him. What does that mean? She just wouldn't quit. She said, oh man of God, come to my house. He said, oh, I got accommodations. I'm fine. She said, no, you don't understand. She said, I got a nice house. You know, we got some money. And I'm a good cook. I mean, I can put it on. I can. You just tell me what you like, and we can do it. He said, well, that's kind of you, but I'm fine. She said, no, please, man of God, come to my house. Come to my house. Constrained him. And finally he came. Obviously the Lord dealt with him. And he came. And boy, after that first meal, he told his help. He said, we stand here next time we come in town. Now we're laughing about all this, but how many know that on the end of this are spectacular miracles? And this is how it started. It started with what? Respect. Respect. Reverence. In fact, he left after the meeting. And verse 9. Well, it said, you know, as often he passed by, he turned in there to eat bread. And verse 9, she said to her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is another traveling preacher. No. What? A holy man of God. And he's coming by here on a regular basis. Let's build on to the house. What does it mean to receive a prophet in the name of a prophet? This is this right here, right here. She's saying, this is a holy man of God. Now, he's a man. I'm sure she saw he had to wash his clothes. He had to take a bath. He didn't always say everything, do everything perfect. But she was able to see past that flesh. She was able to have enough discernment to realize this man is a real man of God. This man's really got a call on his life. He's really anointed. He is really a holy man of God. She said, let's build onto the house. So they did. How many know it takes money to build onto the house? They build onto the house. Why? Well, they probably already had a nice place, but she was interested that it wasn't private enough. Can you see this? Can you see real reverence here? She said, this is a real man of God. He needs a quiet place. He needs a separate place where he won't be bothered and disturbed. She said, let's do it. He said, do it. So they built and they furnished it with a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And verse 11, it fell on a day that he came there and he turned into the chamber and he's laying there and he's so comfortable and God's ministering to him. And he just, you know, he's got no wants, no needs. They feed him, you know, till he has to say quit. And he's able to get quiet just like he wants to. And the Spirit of God ministered to him. Verse 13, he called the guy ministering to him. He said, call her in here. Verse 12, call her in here. And she came in there and he said, look, you have been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for you? What is this? Reverence. And salvation is near. And glory is ready to manifest. Remember the centurion? How he honored God and he honored the people of God. And the Bible said his prayers and his alms are come up before God. And God sent people to his house. A man who reverenced and respected. His helper said, they don't have a child. They want a child. And of course, he wouldn't have just said this off the top of his head, but the Spirit of God spoke up in him. And he said, you know, about this, verse 16, about this time, about this season, according to the time of life, you will embrace a son. You're going to have a baby. She said, no, my Lord, man of God, don't lie to me. That was just too good to be true to her. She thought, oh, don't joke about that. He said, I'm not joking. Sure enough, she conceived. A miracle. What was this? She conceived the desire of her and her husband's heart. One of the biggest things in life they hungered for. This is the prophet's reward. The full benefit of the ministry gift. One of them, one of the aspects is the desires of your heart met. You know the rest of the story. Later on, the little boy grew up. He's out with his daddy in the field one day. He said, my head, something happened to him. And they brought him to his mom. And he lay there a little while and died. He's dead. She laid him in that bedroom they built on the house for the man of God. She took him in there and laid him on that bed where the prophet's always laying in there praying. And she said, saddle the donkey and put the pedal down. Don't stop. I don't care how rough it gets. I'll let you know if you have to back off. And I mean, they ran that donkey hard. And she showed up at the man of God's house. You know the story. He said, what's going on? What's going on? And she said, it's well. But she grabbed a hold of his legs. He said, something's going on here and the Lord hadn't showed me. And you know, before it was over with, her little boy was raised from the dead. What is that? Prophet's reward. What's another part of the prophet's reward? God working miracles for you in your darkest hour. Your greatest time of need and distress. I know Brother Hagin had an individual that was been a partner of his long time and supported him strongly and loved him and his whole family loved him and respected him. And he came in healing school one day and about to minister and said, I've got to pray. Y'all just get down and pray with me. So he went over and knelt down to pray and got in the spirit and got to praying and prayed for some time. And finally, it finally felt like we got it. Well, later on that afternoon, the part of the family of this partner called and said that this man had been in a building complex that had a huge explosion, and the place was on fire, and nobody could get in there. And they assume everybody's dead, including this man. And he said, no, I got it. That's what we were praying about earlier. We got it. That's it. And sure enough, when they got in there, none of the men were hurt. A miracle. They were all fine. What was that? Prophet's reward. See, his whole family reverenced and respected and were faithful and strong partners with that ministry. And God was able to stop a service and arrest the man of God and use him. Why? Well, why wouldn't he just do that for everybody? Well, because the respect is not the same. So the reverence is not the same. The connection is not the same. So the right of God to move is not the same. When you reverence somebody, you give them power in your life. You give them rights in your life. Now, that's not all. Go to the 8th chapter. Receive a prophet in the name of a prophet. Receive a prophet's reward. What is the prophet's reward? It's manifold. It's the full benefit and the full operation of that ministry. It includes the meeting of your greatest desire in life. It includes God showing up for you and doing miracles in your darkest hour, the time of greatest distress in your life. What's that worth? Can't put a price on that. Notice what else. This is an interesting thing. There is prosperity connected with the prophet's ministry. Did you know that? Y'all got time for this or not? I know I'm taking a little bit more time, but I don't know when I'll see you again. I'm about to blast out of here, so this is not going. It won't take long. You know, just a few more minutes. There is prosperity in the prophet's ministry. That's not my words. Let me read it to you. The Bible said in 2 Chronicles 20 and 20. 2 Chronicles 20, 20. Says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you. Now he could have said 1,000 other things. But he said, prosper. You believe his prophets? And you're going to prosper. The Bible said in Ezra 6:14, it said the elders of the Jews builded and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. The whole nation prospered through the prophesying of these men of God. This prosperity anointing on these ministries. Well, how much of that will we get out of it? According to how we hear it, how we see it, how we talk about it, how we treat it, how we handle it. You see this in this woman's life that demonstrated receiving this man of God in the name of a prophet and a holy man of God in the 8th chapter. 8th chapter. Now, time has passed. Since she received the desire of her heart and God met her in her hour of need. But Elisha spoke to this woman. This is ongoing. Whose son he had restored to life. And he said, arise and go you and your household and sojourn wherever you can sojourn. For the Lord has called for a famine and it's going to be upon the land 7 years. So what'd she do? She got up. And she moved out of her big fine mansion. Are you with me now? She packed up her stuff and her family left. According to the word of the man of God. Didn't she? After the saying of the man of God. And she went with her household. And they sojourned in the land of Philistines 7 years. Somebody say 7 years.
7 years.
Say, get up and move. Stay gone 7 years.
Stay gone 7 years.
How many folks would not have enough respect to do something like that? Oh, they just wouldn't. And you know, today we all have the Holy Ghost. So if somebody speaks to you in the name of the Lord, and it is the Spirit, you're going to have a witness. Right? And the prophet's ministry is something different today in that regard, because in that day they didn't have the Spirit of God. We do. But even so, it's not just talking about respecting men, we're talking about respecting what God says. And if you respect it enough to act upon it, well, she did. Well, sure enough, the famine came. Verse 3, it came to pass at the end of 7 years, the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry to the king for her house and for her land. I mean, it's been so severe, it's been so bad while they were gone, and she's been gone so long until, you know, people have taken over everything that they ever had. Their crops, their lands, people have moved into their house, just trying to survive. So she went to the king. And it just so happened that exactly the same time she came to see the king was talking to Gehazi, the man of God's servant. And he said, "Tell me about all these great things Elisha has done." And it came to pass as he was telling the king how that he had restored a dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for us. She came in at that moment, and Gehazi said, "Lord, my lord the king, that's the woman right there." And it was her son that Elisha restored to life. And when the king, you talk about a setup from God. But what is all this? This is prophet's reward. And when the king asked the woman, "Is that true? Are you the woman?" She said, "Yes, I am." "Hey, well, where you been?" "Well, we've been out of country for a little while." Of course, they missed all of the famine. And the king appointed her an officer. He took one of his men and appointed him to her and said, "Restore all that was hers and all the fruits of the field since the day she left town." Glory to God, even till now. And it started out by saying, "Come to my house. Come to my house. Let me feed you. We'll make you comfortable. Let me put you up." Started out with respect. Oh, do you see it, friends? Respect. And through the, it wasn't just respect for Elisha, a man. It was respect for God that was using Elisha and that called Elisha. It's not making too much of flesh. It's respect for God. But if you're respecting God, you have to respect the ones he sends and the ones he's using. His choices. And as a result of her showing that respect and showing that reverence, her and her husband got the desire, the greatest desire of their life. And they had God show up and do a miracle and raise the boy from the dead in the most challenging, stressful time of their life. And God had a miss, whole depressions in the country. They were out having a vacation somewhere. And then when they got back, God restored everything just like they had before they left. And all the crops that the lands would have made while they were there, prosperity, prosperity, protection, and prosperity. And it all started with respect. Stand on your feet. Glory to God. Glory to God. Somebody say, "Praise the Lord." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on, Brother George. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Let's begin to give God thanksgiving for what we've received through Brother Keith Moore. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let's just come before the Lord right now and make a commitment to receive by faith everything that has been said, to receive it into our hearts, to apply it in our lives. Father, in Jesus' name, since Monday, you have given us such great things. And so we treat them with honor. We treat them with respect. We receive them for our lives. Father, I receive this for this church. And Lord, we give you honor. We give you honor. And we give you thanksgiving that we've entered into a new realm of respect and reverence. And the result of it will be the glory of the Lord. Father, we thank you for that. We honor you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Tonight, 7:15, Billy Brim will be here. Glory to God. We'll see you this evening. You're dismissed.